This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We must be honest with each other. And with ourselves, too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. Now, I want to be very clear up front. Not every Republican, not even the majority of Republicans, are MAGA Republicans. Not every Republican embraces their extreme ideology. I know, because I've been able to work with these mainstream Republicans. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans.
Speech, your president slamming half of America and talking about what was happening in America in Philadelphia as he stood outside the doors of Independence Hall. Some people had many problems with the optics because of the Marines, the two Marines that were there. And obviously some of the rhetoric. Kate Delaney, thanks as always for hanging with us here on this show, no matter where you hail from. This speech that argued that Americans supporting the MAGA agenda are attacking the democracy is perfectly timed for the midterm elections and, of course, the punch and the pull that's going on constantly in this country. But did Joe Biden cross over into a dangerous place or not? And when he talks, does this help more Republicans win those seats in the midterm, or is it the opposite? Does it rally people up and make them furious at some of what has happened with the riots, etc., 2 years ago? So there was this before the speech. While at the end of it, Biden was calling for unity, Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, really lit into Joe Biden, President Biden, for allegedly insulting Americans and attacked Democrats for handling issues ranging from inflation to public safety. I'll let you hear a little bit of what he had to say.
Simply because they disagree with his policies. That is not leadership. When the president speaks tonight at Independence Hall, the first lines out of his mouth should be to apologize for slandering tens of millions of Americans as fascists. President Biden wants to talk about the soul of the nation. Tonight, he will say democracy is at stake. And he will declare that only Democrats hold the moral upper hand. What Joe Biden doesn't understand is that the soul of America is in the tens of millions of hardworking people, of loving families, of law-abiding citizens whom he vilified for simply wanting a stronger, safer, and more prosperous country.
Kevin McCarthy also said Democrats have had total control in D.C. They control the House, they control the Senate, they control the White House. They have all the levers of power. And he said, let me ask you, how are they doing? How are they doing at this point? Meanwhile, back to Biden, he says MAGA Republicans threaten democracy, as he and the Democrats are definitely going to go after Trump. There's no question. You never heard him say Trump very much in the past. So meaning that in any of the speeches and things that he He talked about on the campaign trail afterwards, all of that. He didn't really go after Trump. This definitely was that. There's no question. He definitely is putting it out there. And it comes as Democrats probably feel like there's some momentum ahead of the November elections because of voters motivated by being, you know, having revulsion to some of the GOP policies like abortion. So that was being played up, and to former President Donald Trump. Or is it the opposite? Will this pull people out to say, oh, no, this is not happening? Biden said MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards, referencing Make America Great, that slogan, backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy, no right to contraception, no right to marry who you want to. Republicans like McCarthy and what he was saying, soaring inflation, the economy, key midterm issues for them. What is on voters' minds? You know, some of it has to be inflation. It would have to be pretty far up the, list. One of the things that McCarthy said was, how many of you can afford to give up 1 month of your income? I bet not many. And while that was happening, and then just a couple hours later, the speech in Philadelphia, at that speech, as I said, the optics had lots of people talking about what is happening and what's going on with where the speech is happening. That was like the main thing, is what was the setting? That was one of the things. What was driving up the setting? But before any of that happened, early in the morning, Donald Trump said he plans to pardon U.S. Capitol attack participants. So he was on Wendy Bell's show. And on the show, that's what he talked about. He talked about that he would pardon some of the people that, and he didn't even say some, he said he would pardon the people involved in the riot, saying that it's wrong what happened to so many of them, and that they also are owed an apology. And to me, this was his latest move to say, you know, okay, I'm going to bail you out. I'm going to bail out the people that I think he's saying that fought for me. So it was an interesting day. You start with the former president saying that on a talk show, that those comments just exploded all over the place. Then you get Kevin McCarthy, who heads off the Biden speech. And then you have Biden warning against MAGA forces a lot during his speech, constantly saying equality and democracy are under assault, calling out Donald Trump many, many times, and his supporters who have denied the 2020 election results, and calling it extremism and whatnot. But being careful to say there are some Republicans who don't fit that mold because I worked with them. All right, coming up next, a conversation with Tim Schuler, an author you'll want to meet.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines, hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
Shinar, The Shimmering Axe Saga, Epic 1, Volume 1. And the author joins us now. His name is Tim Schuler. Tim, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. Glad to be on.
So I know you like fantasy. We had a great conversation off the air. And medieval lore, which, putting all this together, that's an interest of mine. How did you come up with this? What drove you to write the book?
Well, okay, so I've had a lot of influence with medieval. I was a part of a international group called the Society for Creative Anachronism, from about the time I was born till, so what that is basically it's a not really a reenacting group. It's more of a recreating group, not the past that was, but the past that could have been. And so I had that influence from the get-go. And with that, there's a lot of people that are involved that have done things like, you know, played Dungeons and Dragons and stuff. And my family was involved in that, too. And my brother, especially my older brother, he had a lot of influence on that. So that kind of channeled my interest in that, and it kind of piqued my interest for medieval fantasy and just fantasy in general. You know, I was born around the time Star Wars was coming out, and of course, my dad wanted to name me Obi-Wan Kenobi, and my mom said no, so there was that. But it was kind of those two things kind of combined to really get my interest peaked for fantasy and medieval fantasy. And I remember back, one of the first movies I remember watching was in the theater, was Excalibur. I think that came out in 81. I was real little when it came out. And I was in awe with some of the stuff that they had in that movie. So it was pretty cool. And I remember watching Dragon Slayer, and that movie was pretty cool, too. And Beastmaster, that was another one that I really liked. Beastmaster. Beastmaster. It also wanted me to. I wanted to get a couple of ferrets after watching that movie, but my mom didn't. But my mom didn't want that. So
I like that Beastmaster. That's on my list too. So tell us about the book itself. Tell us, Ty Schnarr. Tell us about the dawn of Ty Schnarr and what we can expect.
Well, okay. So basically, this is. Kind of a classic, it's a classic and maybe even somewhat cliche, good versus evil. There's basically two, one's a clan, it's called Montalin, those are the good guys, if you will, and there's another kind of faction, I guess, I never really described it in the book, called Frona. They're your typical bad guys, and there's two kind of people, there's two guys that are about the same age. You know, they're about 16 when the book starts. One is Jalark. He's the protagonist. He's the main character of the story, or co-main character, I guess, the antagonist. He's got some pretty good screen time as well. And Tylog is the antagonist, of course. And basically, both of them are kind of at that age, 16, where they're not really sure what they want to do with their lives. So the book kind of starts off with that, where they're kind of, you know, just trying to fill themselves out. Both of them, obviously, they don't interact at this time with each other, because the book kind of gives a little bit of a background on why that is. Montalin, Clan Montalin, is more of a nomadic clan. They kind of just travel around to place to place, and they end up kind of in an area near where Frona is, where their base of operations is, and there is a little bit of a tangle. Tylog's mother is the one that's kind of the leader of Frona, and actually, no, not kind of, she is the leader of Frona, I'm sorry, and Jalark's father is the leader of Montalin. And somehow, some way, Frona finds out where Montalin is, and they kind of interact, and some things happen in that. I don't want to get too detailed with that. But Jalark does find some clarity in the first book, and kind of hints to a second book as well.
Which is great. What do you hope people take away from reading this novel?
Well, you know, I just want people to be entertained. I want them wanting more. Mostly just, you know, just get entertained. Kind of, I do want to put some, even though it is medieval fantasy, even though it is completely fiction, I do want people to get kind of the human elements of the story. You know, where it's like, yeah, I kind of felt that way when I was younger. That sort of thing, you know.
Yeah, and it is a very good storytelling. So it is that good and evil. It is that battle, the things that you talked about as a kid and the influences I think that you had and what's led to this book. And it's so fascinating. You can get it on Amazon, and we'll look for that book too. Thanks for coming on.
All right, thank you, Kate.
A couple of minutes left in this segment. We don't have a man cave, so I'm just going to kind of do an abbreviated sort of man cave. A lot of you have asked me about that. You want to hear more about some of the things that are happening in the world of sports. Of course, all eyes on the Serena Williams show. And what I mean by that, this is supposedly her farewell, and she is crushing it. She's into the third round. You got to remember, she's turning 41 in a month. She's won 23 majors. She played doubles with her sister, but they lost their doubles match 7-6, 6-4. But it was kind of fun. I saw a little bit of it. It was fun to watch that. They've won a lot of matches together. I want to say 14 titles together. And you never see doubles at night. But I think because of the kind of the farewell of Serena, that ended up happening. So Serena is still in it. She is into the third round, like I said. So she'll play her third round match on Friday under the lights. And it's kind of been a who's who celebrities from the world of sports, but also just in general, movie stars, people in all walks of life coming out to see Serena. So it's been kind of a fun atmosphere, you can tell. I've been to the U.S. Open many, many, many times in my life, and I have to say that even just watching it on the tube, you can see the, you know, you can see the excitement brewing, no question. And speaking of excitement, it is exciting to know that we have college football back, and the pro stuff is starting up pretty soon, too. So Pittsburgh, I have a niece that goes to Pitt, and Pittsburgh beat West Virginia at their home stadium, 38-31. Oklahoma State beat Central Michigan 58-44. This was the kickoff to the season. Wake Forest beating VMI 44-10. So there were a handful of games that that were played. And then on Friday, Western Michigan and Michigan State will tangle in East Lansing. Lansing, that should be pretty fun. I've been there a couple of different times. And then, of course, on Saturday, you got them all. You got, like, Georgia hosting, you know, third-ranked Georgia hosting 11 Oregon. And Texas A&M, because a lot of A&M fans, I'm sure, listen to this show out in College Station, hosting Houston and number 8 Michigan and Colorado State. And you know, it's just all of them being rolled out. Florida and 7th-ranked Utah, which Utah's so tough. And this one's intriguing, too. On Saturday night, Ohio State. You got 2-5. Ohio State is ranked 2. It's going to be in Columbus, Ohio, taking on Notre Dame. That I will be watching that one, at least part of it anyway. And then on Monday, which is Labor Day, you've got Clemson and Georgia Tech in Atlanta, and that's a pretty fun game. So college football is underway. This is it. This is the beginnings of college football. You know, this is week one, and you know, now we move to the pros too, which that starts pretty soon here too, in next week, in a week. So wow. Hard to believe. I can't wait till we start doing that nail the score thing. You can participate Tuesday nights in our final segment of Hour 1. If you nailed the score of the game of the week that I pick, correctly pick that team. You don't have to know anything about sports. Pick that team and what the score is. You will win some amazing prizes. Stay with us.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marusso reporting. In front of Independence Hall in Philadelphia on Thursday night, President Joe Biden spoke plainly about the threat he sees from the MAGA wing of the GOP. He acknowledged, though, he is not speaking about most Republicans.
The Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country.
Republican House Leader Kevin McCarthy in Scranton Thursday offering a rebuttal to President Biden's Soul of the Nation address. McCarthy called on the president to apologize after recently suggesting former President Trump was leading the GOP towards semi-fascism.
What Joe Biden doesn't understand is that the soul of America is in the tens of millions of hardworking people whom he vilified for simply wanting a stronger, safer, and more prosperous country.
I'm Tony Barusso for USA Radio News. A federal judge said she would make public a more detailed list of the items the FBI took during its search last month of former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home, opening the prospect of a much fuller picture of what documents might be among the classified material that was seized. U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon's decision came during a hearing Thursday over whether to appoint an outside party to review the materials now in the Justice Department's hands to determine whether issues of executive and lawyer-client privilege put some of it out of bounds to investigators. China is charged with crimes against humanity.
The United Nations has accused China of serious human rights violations in a long-awaited report into allegations of abuse in the Xinjiang province, home of the Uyghurs. Beijing called the report a farce arranged by Western powers, but UN investigators say they found credible evidence of torture and crimes against humanity. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
This is USA Radio News.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come
here
on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway? Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, Mimi. Such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, now, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop this senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Taking you to Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, for a conversation with Gurdevner Ghali. His book is Whose Heaven Is It? Boy, have we thought about this question a lot. Have we talked about this on this show many times? We certainly have. He is perfect to join us, and this book is fascinating. Gurdev, thanks so much for coming on.
You're welcome, Kate. I should inform you that the book that I brought out called Whose Heaven Is It? In 2014 is now being totally revised by me and updated, and it's no longer called Whose Heaven Is It? It's called Spiritual Platform.
Ah, and we can find it under that on Amazon and Barnes & Noble?
Well, I'm finishing the final manuscript draft in about 6 days. The press release is already done. The front cover and the back of the book is already done. I've got to get this to the publishing companies in 6 days. Then they have a couple of weeks to turn it around and publish it, and then they're going to promote it in the world's largest book fair in Frankfurt from the 19th to the 23rd of October. And then it's going to be marketed in four main countries, America, Canada, UK, and Singapore. And then we see what happens. They kind of asked me that if it sort of really does go down well to sort of be there and join them at the Frankfurt Book Fair. So I might be doing that, but that's where things stand at the moment.
Wonderful. So tell us why you wrote the book and what the book is about.
All right. Well, let me go into it. The primal focus of the Spiritual Platform is that of spirituality and philosophy, and draws on aspects of major world religions and their core beliefs that lend themselves to the underlying main issues of the book, which are the values associated with divine universal consciousness. It discusses some of the inconsistencies and contradictions within and between major religions, which question their validity and cohesiveness in the search for what the truth really is. The very fact that there are so many different religions and denominations within religions is testimony to the view that we can easily become somewhat spiritually uncertain, if not to say confused, as to which path is truly the right one to take. Spiritual Platform advances the values and laws of universal consciousness, and its focus in this regard is to show that there is more that unites human beings than what divides them. The book starts by looking at how existence came about. Was it by intelligent design, or was it evolution? And concludes that behind all creation, there is indeed intelligent design, and so there has to be a creator. I argue that this intelligent design is a divine spiritual energy of universal consciousness, and that everything is in some way connected with it. It is the ultimate source of energy behind all existence. As human beings, our consciousness is connected to it and is a part of it. It is the highest form of consciousness and related vibration. Just as our physical realm is governed by laws proven by science and physics, there exists a spiritual realm with its own spiritual laws, which are also fixed laws. They cannot be proven to exist by science or traditional physics, because they are part of a separate non-physical, metaphysical, spiritual world, which is just part of another dimension. To use an analogy, a room may have several doors, but you need to have the right key to unlock the right door. In time, perhaps the gap between science and spirituality may narrow. I think it already is, and I think it will continue to do so. Spiritual Platform and what it advances are part of what is called spiritual science, which incorporates a view considering both monotheistic and Eastern religion and philosophies. The physical world in this context is also bound by the universal spiritual laws of karma and reincarnation. What shapes your perception will determine your concept of reality, and every thought and action leads to a reaction. You reap as you sow, cause and effect, and the law of attraction and manifestation are like examples of these fixed laws that relate to the values as to what is good and bad. And I do make a distinction between good and bad and right and wrong, as I view right and wrong as being more man-created values and not part of fixed laws. The chapter Spiritual Compass in the book lists these main values, which I call good and bad. The book also addresses issues related to birth, life and death, and other related matters. Spiritual Platform is to be understood in the context of individual and collective karma, and how that relates directly to our level of individual and collective consciousness. On the individual level, it relates to one's knowledge, wisdom, and emotional intelligence and mindfulness. One distinction, which is a very important distinction to make, is that intelligence does not in itself imply wisdom. And on the collective level, karma relates to a group, culture, society, or nation, and includes values and policies on a macro level in a multipolar world. These include geopolitical, economic, the global financial order, and issues concerning the environment. The book also looks at monotheistic and Eastern religions from the point of view of religious prophecy and the role of religion in politics and the state. It covers the Arab-Palestinian-Israeli issue, as this has been going on now for some time, and it seems to me to have some particular historical relevance, as I explain in the book, in relation to prophecy. It addresses notions about the human mind and emotions, and there is a chapter entitled A Journey of Three Religious Sites, which is an experience that I had through most of one night, where I was taken on the back of a bluebird to the base of a mountain, and I relate the experiences and meanings I derived on going up this mountain as I visited these three individual sites. Lastly, I talk about the current geopolitical challenges the world is facing, and I also cover the world economy and the workings and values behind our financial markets, and how fear and greed drives these markets, and what the consequences are, which are really playing themselves out in today's world. Given today's serious problems in the geopolitical, security, economic, and financial fallout, and the reshaping of our world order on different lines, I think it is an appropriate time to address also how we now evolve spiritually and develop around a more relevant and meaningful collective consciousness, focusing on the values mentioned under Spiritual Compass, as expressed in the book Spiritual Platform.
Wow. So much there in Spiritual Platform. What do you hope people take away when they read your book? What do you hope they walk away with?
I hope they walk away with questioning everything. I hope they walk away with being able to think about what there is in the book, see how they feel about it, how they feel about the world, whether or not we do need to make some changes, and whether or not each one wants to contribute something to making a positive change and work and strive for a more fruitful and happy and peaceful world, and a more happy and peaceful world for our children.
We only have a couple minutes left, but for you, Gurdev, was this a satisfying process? Are you at peace with this great big undertaking? And this is movement. This is change.
Yes, I'm at peace with it totally. I have absolutely no issues with it. I'm totally connected, Kate. I'm totally connected. I'm a bit of a night owl. I start to come alive at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I listen to music a lot. I just love music. I don't need to take drugs. I just get high on music, so that's fine. I listen to a lot of mantra music, and I listen to a lot of other lots of different types of music, and I still play the guitar and do some songs and write some songs. I've been devoting myself now to this, republishing and reviewal of the book. I feel totally connected. I've trained my mind because, you are what you think. And if you train your mind, you can do the most amazing things. It takes time. It doesn't come overnight, and you have to practice at it. But it then becomes an unconscious kind of habit, and you can develop it. And I've developed that side of me.
Perfect. Full circle. Absolutely. So we can't wait to read this for the people out there who haven't. Spiritual Platform. You'll be able to get that soon. Gurdev Nagali, thank you so much.
You're most welcome, Kate. And thank you so much for hosting the interview. It's been a great pleasure, and I hope one day I get the chance to meet you.
I hope I get to meet you too as well. Thank you.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink Super Tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history. Physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Georgi Spro is with us. He's written a book called Investing Best and Simple Steps. Now more than ever, people could use this book, no doubt about it, when they're confused and just trying to take baby steps or bigger steps than that. Georgi, thanks so much for coming on, and tell us why you wrote this book.
Hi, Kate. Thank you again for having me on. Why I wrote the book, because I was just so compelled as a young man and actually born and bred in the working class neighborhood community and faithfully driven in my belief with God and as a Catholic. I wrote it because I wanted to reach out to everybody and also to make it affordable to average paying consumers who don't know about money, and because people were lost during the times of the pandemic, during when COVID-19 happened. And around that time, that was when I was compelled to, I'm going to write a book. And afterwards, I became really in the student of finance, and I studied about finance, investing. And I thought that, okay, there were better ways that for people to efficiently start investing is just by actually also opening an account, basically as of today, with it's just as reading this book, 30 pages, investing my best simple steps methods.
So in the book, you talk about some big things, like people panic when it comes to the stock market. Oh, I don't understand the stock market, and it just seems like it's always crashing, and especially now, and what do we do? How do you avoid that panic when, and you talk about it in the book, when the stock market falls?
The big thing is staying proactive. One of the biggest lessons that I have probably more than likely have learned so many times through best economic minds like, you know, Warren Buffett. He talks about staying proactive and knowing when to think that, all right, when stock markets start to fall or, you know, they start to rise in an inclining fluctuation, we want to get out at a certain point. You know, just say, for example, if they want to cash out a certain deposit that they've committed to make in a market, but also staying in a market with longevity. Another method I learned was through in the book I talked about diversification and how to diversify your methods of investments, but also in terms of it really boils down to just homework. Being active in your investments is like I wrote in one of my chapters, you're crafting your own toolbox, right? And you have this toolbox in place. You have your tools, you have your sets of hardware, you have your sets of tape measures and hammers. Okay, all right. It's just like investing yourself in these. Well, okay, you think that it's easy to organize and invest the tools and the hardware that, okay, a regular paying dad who works a daily job and he has a toolbox to invest for, make sure that, okay, when he does housework every day or once a weekend when he gets the time to add equity to his house for better projects so that way when he decides to sell the house, he can get more value out of that house in a family-style living community. There's also, similar to the analogy of just going back into your investments, any average person can do it, right? And it's just really boils down to their personal success. They can just as easily start investing today, because one of the reasons why I wrote my book is just as simply as 30 to 32 pages is to help themselves start financially for their endeavor.
Right, and it's easy, like you said. You said this a couple times, because you can follow 32 pages. A lot of times people will say, oh, I can't, it's too long, I can't do that, that's just too much, and that's what you talk about. And you talk about something I think that's interesting. You've told us some of the traits for being a successful investor, and you mentioned about the toolbox, all of that, and doing your homework. What about budgeting? People hate that word budget, but it's important, right? Because it doesn't matter how much, it's that you do it. You do it consistently, right? And you talk about that.
We hate budgeting because that was what's been told us consistently growing up as children. You know, you got to budget your money. You got to go over your budgets. You don't budget your books. Go over your daily expenses every weekend or however number of committed, however number of times that'll be. I'm sure my parents told you your parents have told you many times to budget your checkbooks, find a day to budget your checkbooks. but I laughed at times because, okay, this was a learning lesson. This was an important lesson that we got ingrained as kids growing up, but also it did get in the way at times. But when simplest number of lessons is learning a simple lesson like budget your books or always read 30 pages in a book, one chapter a day is basically 30 pages in a book, right? Reading one chapter a day with 30 pages, you can get value, added value that you're putting in for yourself. And it's just as similar as you're getting added value when you're checking your budgets, you're balancing your books. But instead of just always checking your budget and balancing your checkbooks, find a way to expand it. And this was one of the lessons I learned from one of the business minds like Peter Thiel in investments. He talks about investments that, okay, any average Joe can really become successful in their personal investments because they've done the due diligence. They've taken that act of patience, being proactive instead of reactive, because a lot of the times we're driven by speculation when we don't understand about budgets or money because we spend so much.
Right, there you go. So it's about being proactive. We're speaking with Yorgi Spro, and the name of the book is Investing, Best in Simple Steps, Wise in Simple Steps to Increase Financial Knowledge. And you've said it throughout this, but what do you hope people take away from reading your book?
What I hope is they can choose for themselves. They can make their own decision and get added value based on this book. That they encourage themselves to pass it on to your family, your friends, moms, dads, cousins, everyone in public, friends, coworkers, and get added value to the book.
There you go. Added value. That's everybody's looking for added value. You can pick it up on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kate.
So just a couple of minutes left in this show. I saw a great headline today on CNN Business. It said the economy is starting to cool, but the job market is like an inferno. Boy, isn't that the truth. So it's like you look at home prices. They're cold, cold, cold. Mortgage rates keep climbing because the Fed is battling inflation as that keeps going up. There's too much pressure on the prices. So people who were getting huge amounts of money for homes, you know, $100,000 over what the asking price is and the battles over homes, some of that has cooled off. The 30-year fixed rate mortgage averaged 566 this week. So that's up again from the week before. This is all according to Freddie Mac. That's pretty significant. And you got to think about this. January, we turned the calendar. Do you know what it was? 322. So that's pretty big. When you hit even a high in mid-June of 581, so then people think about payments like there's no way. And as that tightens, then home buyers, when they see these mortgage rates, which will probably stay to the 5-6 range over the next few months, that's that combination of still high inflation and the Fed's increasing borrowing costs keeps them elevated. So you just got to think about that. A year ago, a buyer who put 20% down on a median price $390,000 home financed the rest with a 30-year fix had an average rate of 287. So your mortgage payment would be like $1,294. Imagine now it would be $1,803, something like that. So that is too much for many of those buyers in that range. Is just one great example of that. All right, so the job market, it's interesting. It is like an inferno. Jobless claims fell to the lowest level in 2 months. According to a report from the U.S. Department of Labor, 232,000 Americans filed first-time unemployment claims in the week ending August 27th, but that's a drop of 5,000 from the previous week, and we keep seeing that number drop. The decline in first-time claims also beat expectations from so many economists who really were predicting claims would increase. And that comes on the hot heels of several weeks of unexpected decline. So how about that? That's what this is, that yin and yang that we're seeing today. All right, on that note, we got to exit stage left or right, whichever you prefer. Make it count, everybody.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've been interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.